We are blessed tonight to have
Brian Buckner.
Have you ever been in a car and you thought that the car was in gear, but actually it was still in park, or it may have been in neutral? And when you gave it the gas, it just kind of like revved up the engine. It revved it up really high. Everything worked well. The engine sounded fine. The radio was on. The air conditioner was on. Everything worked great. But the only thing was, you weren't going anywhere. You were just sitting there. You weren't making any progress towards getting to your destination. The engine, it was really loud because you gave it gas, and it sounded like you're really going somewhere, but you only saw that you were in neutral or in park and you weren't going anywhere. Most of us have probably done that before. In fact, I think I did it just last week in the parking garage after work. What I want us to realize this morning is it's not only a problem if we're doing that with our car, but it's an even bigger problem if we're doing that with our spiritual life and our walk with Christ. We all have potential to do great things in this life and in our spiritual lives, but are we taking that potential and are we turning it into productivity? Are we sitting in the parking spot revving our engine spiritually, or are we flying down the interstate? Another illustration that I think illustrates this point that makes sense in my mind is investments. I work as an accountant for a living, and many times I think in terms of finances. When you first make an investment, you expect that investment to yield results. When you make the investment, it has great potential. But if it has no yield, then the investment is pointless. When you think about that in terms of being a Christian, we're all given great potential. But if we don't do anything with that potential and turn it into productivity, then what have we done? I want us to think about the parable of talents this morning in Matthew chapter 25. Remember the third servant in this story. The third servant in this parable, he had a lot of talent. He was very blessed. He had great talent. But not only did he have these abilities and talents, he also had the trust of his master. The fact that his master gave him these talents and told him to do something with them demonstrates that the master had trust for him. He had an opportunity to do great things. He had great potential. So people in that time may have said, and they looked at him, you know, he's going to do great things one day. He had the opportunity to do a lot of good. But what did he do? He chose to bury those talents and bury that potential instead of taking that potential he had and making it into productivity and turning it into prosperity. He never became productive because he decided to hide the talent that he had been blessed with. He didn't do anything with it. When he decided to hide the talent, he never allowed it to become productive for his master. The master trusted him to make his own decisions, and the master trusted him to try to do good things with that talent that he had blessed him with. So I hope we're never like this individual in this story. This man never became productive because he hid his talent and never allowed it to be fruitful for his master. God has blessed us with many talents, and he's trusted us to use them for his glory. The question is, are we going to use the talents that God has blessed us with to grow his kingdom? Will you allow the potential that God has given you to turn into productivity? That's a decision that we all have to make each and every day. Are we going to do what God wants us to, or are we not going to do what God wants us to? It's that simple. But I think sometimes we make it more complicated than that. In the parable of the talents, I hope we always strive to be like the other two mentioned. We want to make sure we don't hide our talents. We should always want to do more and reach new heights, spiritually speaking. This morning, I want us to focus on three goals or desires in our service to God. Before we get to the first goal, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 10 through 15. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Here it says, "According to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So the first thing we want to do is make sure that we're being productive. In this passage, we find them talking about a foundation. The foundation for productive service and reaching our potential and multiplying our talents that are found in Christ. There is no other foundation for our service to God or for ministering to others than that which is laid, that has already been laid by Christ. Now the question is, how do we build on that foundation as children of God? God has called us to be servants and to labor as his servants, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. In this passage, Paul is addressing the church at Corinth, and it's very clear from what he says in the scripture here that God has called us to be as servants to labor. Verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So our labor is not in vain when we're working for the Lord. He gives us a foundation, and then he tells us how we can take that foundation and turn it into production. A foundation, it has great potential, but that foundation is pointless. It's never going to be anything if we don't build on it. God has called us to a life of service, and he wants us to build on that foundation and that potential that a foundation gives us and turn it into a productive Christian life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says that God takes note of our work. Our work will not be worthless. Verse 58 says that our labor for the Lord will not be in vain. We are called to be productive. I think it can be summarized in this way. God has equipped us for the call of service. He has blessed us for his service, and he has given us the talents as individuals and as a whole church body to use for his glory. In other words, we've been given all the potential in the world. All the potential is there. So what are we going to do with it? I read a story one time about a school in Rome, Georgia, called Berry College. Maybe some of you have heard of it. It was started by a lady who had a vision back in the late 1800s to start a school for children. The problem was she didn't have a school, and she didn't have money. She didn't really have much at all. And the only thing she had was a small one-room part of her house to bring children to. And it started with four children. She had no books. She had no money. She had no real way to start a school. But what she did have is she had a vision or a goal that she wanted to reach. So she began working and laboring towards that goal each day. She went to Henry Ford from Ford Cars and asked him for a donation. Henry Ford at this time, he had multiple millions of dollars. He could have done anything he wanted to with this money. She went to him and she explained this vision or goal she had to start a school. She told him about how she wanted to educate these children and be able to provide a place for them to come and learn. And according to the story that I read, Ford reached into his pocket and handed her a dime, and he said, "Good luck." Ford here, he was a multi-millionaire, and all he could give her was a dime. To most people, that would have been completely disheartening. It would have been discouraging. It would have been insulting for a millionaire just to give you a dime when he's got all this that he could have given. But she took that 10 cents, and she went and she bought some seeds, and she planted a garden. It produced, so she sold those vegetables, and she planted a larger garden. The whole time, she was constantly asking others for help to start the school, and she was continuing to plant more vegetables and sell those vegetables off to make more money. So after she had expanded the garden three or four times, and with the help of many other people and the donations that they had given, she went back to Henry Ford, and she said, I want you to see what this dime has done. It has given me enough money to be able to build this school, and it's helped me to realize my dream." Ford looked at her and he said, "You have a passion for your dream. And he wrote her a check there on the spot for $1 million. This morning, I want to ask you, what's your dream about serving God? What's your passion about serving the kingdom? The truth is that God desires his people to be productive with what they have. That's the whole story of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10 through 15, to be productive with what we have. We've all been blessed with talents. We have a foundation. We have potential, but it's about turning that potential into productivity. This church family here, it's an amazing group of people. You're all so encouraging. There's great opportunities to serve here and be productive here. But it's our choice if we're going to build on that foundation that God has blessed us with and be productive. God has called us to labor and to serve. So we need to do that. We need to be productive. That brings us to the second point this morning. It's easy to talk about being productive, but how are we going to be productive, or what allows us to be productive? The answer in this situation is the power of God. The power of God can be very powerful, and it allows us to do great things for Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, when we are baptized, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to do it by ourselves. We don't have to rely on our own skills and abilities. There's a power behind us being productive, and that power is through God and Christ himself. In other words, God has called us to be productive with the power he gives us. He does not call us to be passive. He doesn't want us to sit idle and act like we don't have potential. We should not be like the third servant in Matthew chapter 25. He said, I don't want you to be passive. I want you to be productive. I want you to use what I've given you. I don't want you to sit idly by and let all the talent go to waste. We can't let the potential that God has given us go untapped. This morning, I want us to look at three areas of the fruit in our life, that the fruit in our lives should be evident. The first one is, the first fruit that should be evident is we have the power to evangelize. We can evangelize to all people. Most of us have enough knowledge of the scripture to be able to tell others about it. We're commanded in scripture to evangelize. We're told in Matthew chapter 28 to go into all the world and teach the gospel. This is something we can all do. We don't have to go to another country. We don't have to go anywhere else. We don't have to go where lost souls are. And sadly, that's many different places. We have the power and the potential to share God's word with others every day. We have the privilege every day to show others Christ by our words and by our actions. This will hopefully stir people to ask questions and ask why we act the way we do. And this will give us an opportunity to share the gospel with them. We have the opportunity every day to show others how Christ is making a difference in our lives. The second power that we have is the power to walk. Now, I'm not talking about physically walking here, but as Christians, we don't walk under our own authority and power. We walk according to the authority and power of Christ. Christ has given us the guidelines. We just have to follow them. We can find answers for just about every situation we can encounter in Scripture. So number one, we have the power to evangelize. And number two, we have the power to walk under the authority of Christ. And number three, what a blessing it is to have the power to worship, as we have done here this morning already. What a blessing it is to be able to worship freely in America. We can all come together every first day of the week and worship God in fellowship with each other. I think many times we don't think about what a huge blessing that is to be able to come together freely and worship God each Sunday and each Wednesday, but it's a huge blessing to be able to come together like this each week. It helps encourage us and it helps charge us up to be able to go out into the world every week, and it gives us the power to go out and evangelize and help others see what it is like to walk under the authority of Christ. Being able to come together and worship around like-minded Christians each week charges us up and gives us the fuel to be able to do that. So we're richly blessed with the power that God has given us through Christ. So we need to be productive as Christians. We need to use that power that we're given through Christ. But the third main point this morning is we need to be passionate people. We have to be passionate about being a Christian. If we aren't passionate about being Christians, then why would anyone else want to become a Christian? People will see our passion that we have, and they'll have, and they'll wonder, like, why do we have that passion? And they'll want to have that same passion. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." It doesn't say here, love God with part of your heart, part of your soul, and part of your mind. It says all. God wants all of us, not just the part that it's convenient for us to give. He wants us to be passionate. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm or cold, but He wants us to be on fire for Him. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 can be summarized with one word, and that word is passion. God wants us to be passionate. This passion is what motivates a Christian to be a productive servant. Nothing will move a Christian from potential to productive until they are moved from passive to passionate. This is a true statement about many different things in life, so I'll say it again. Nothing will move an individual from potential to productive until they are moved from passive to passionate. When we as Christians become passionate about what Christ has done for us, it will move us to reach our best productivity level. When we see examples of people in Scripture who were passionate, Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, Jeremiah says that the word of God is like a fire in his bones. Paul in Scripture was so passionate about following Christ and doing His will that he was persecuted and went to jail along with many other early Christians. This morning, the challenge for us, it's vital to remember that in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, I want us to notice that the master, he left the servant in charge until he returned. He left him in charge until he came back. He trusted him to use his talents. I want you to think about your personal walk with Christ. If God returned today and asked you to give an account of your life, are you ready to do that? Or are you just sitting on potential? Are you just sitting on the foundation? Remember in Matthew chapter 25 how the potential of the servant was referred to by Jesus? Jesus called him, Jesus called him the wicked and slothful servant. He has nothing to show when his master returned. We've been calling him the servant who had potential, but Jesus called him wicked and slothful. The sad part of that story is that he had all the potential in the world. He had the trust of his master. He was given the ability and he was given the opportunity. And you would say he was a nice guy. He just kind of blended in and nobody really noticed him. He just didn't take advantage of the opportunity that he was given. I hope we remember, in reality, potential means nothing if we fail to do anything with it. It means nothing. If we don't do anything with the potential, then what do we have? What have we done? God has blessed us individually and as a church body with doors of opportunity and great potential. Let's not take those for granted, but turn that potential into productivity. To do that, we have to be passionate about our walk with God. It needs to be the first thing in our life, above all other things. It needs to be the first thing on our mind, and it always needs to be on our mind. We need to be passionate about it. If that's not where you are on your walk with Christ this morning, then please be moved from having that potential to being productive because of your love for Christ and the sacrifice that He gave for you. Some of us this morning may need to be baptized and become a productive servant. Others may need the prayers of the church this morning. I hope we can all find a way to be productive and passionate servants in God's kingdom. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, please come